It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. Yep. Getting ready. I can't wait to see the oyster bar.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yep. Glad to see you feeling a little better.
Yes.
A little puny last week.
Yeah. How was it? I don't even know what page I was on. Well, actually, we didn't even do a show, did we?
No, we didn't do a show last week.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason I don't remember.
That's right. That's right.
Damn. I wondered why I didn't remember that. I feel a lot better now.
You just thought you were getting forgetful. And
yeah, you know, I'm normally 10 feet tall and bulletproof, but last Monday night I was 5 foot tall full of holes.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, what the heck.
Yeah.
You don't go around but once. I just try to enjoy it.
Happens to the best of us, but I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. And, remember with that... what it's all about.
What it's all about.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It is really unbelievable the conditions that we are operating under now and living under with this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And what a jumble of changes that is made to our lives, you know. And the thing that I'm thinking really serious about, and I've really been watching it over the last few months, is how much of this is going to stay with us? How much of these changes are going to stay with us? How many people are not going to go back to work? They're going to work out of their homes. How many people are going to school their kids in home now that they found out they could really do it?
Probably not near as many as doing it right now, I promise you.
No, they won't be.
They're over them right now.
Yeah.
So,
but they're ready to get them back out of there for a while. But,
I
think the cleanliness factor that we have developed and that we have seen occur is a lot of that's going to stay with us. We're all going to think more about where we go, what we do, and the cleanliness factor of what we're touching and what the other people are touching around us, you know.
Right.
And we're going to see more of that.
Yeah, and even riding around today, you know, I've been trying to be good, keep my mask on when I'm out in a public building somewhere. But I see a bunch of people that aren't.
Well,
you know?
I still see that. But I noticed I went over to Walmart today. And I got about 10 feet of the store, and I remembered I didn't put my mask on. And then I said, oh, that won't be no problem. They have a policeman standing at the door with a box of them. You know? I said, Mr. Officer, I believe I need a mask. He said, yeah, you do, son. Made me feel good. He called me son. You know?
That's right.
I was probably twice as old as him.
Yep.
But that's all right, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's – people need to do it. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm out in the heat all the time, and it's hard. It's hard to be at work out in the heat with one. Yeah. You know,
well,
now
they don't. You don't breathe well with them. I noticed that in my darn glasses fog up and all that stuff. You know, I'm going like, well,
right.
Come on.
Yeah, it's really hard to operate out in the heat with that. You know, inside the building's not as bad. You know, we're doing it at UJ. Out in the shop where we're not right on top of each other, it's okay. We're kind of out in the open. It's air moving through. We're, 10, 15, 20 feet apart pretty much at all times.
Yeah.
If we got to be up on top of each other, you know, we wear one.
Right.
If we go into different departments, which we've limited how you move around the dealership. You don't cut through departments to get to somewhere. You don't go to another department unless you absolutely have to.
Well, see, here's some of the things I think we're going to continue to see.
Right.
Because we have and are developing better work ethics and personal hygiene ethics as to, not standing right in get it in somebody's face and all that stuff, you know,
right.
And all the shaking and howdy and all. I mean, are we going to have some of it? Yeah. I'm a Southern guy. I'm going to shake hands every now and then.
Right.
But there's some people I might bump with my fist or give an elbow now. You know?
That's right.
Because I might think about it more now.
Exactly.
I'm like, where's he had his hands at?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Come on. Yeah. He just wiped his old snotty nose.
Right.
Wonder what it was draining for him. Come on, Claxton, get clean now. Get clean.
I tell you, it's going to be a new normal. I mean, I guess you don't, you know, none of us really wanted to believe
that. We didn't.
But it's not going to go back exactly the way it was.
No, it won't. It won't ever be the same. And anytime we have one of these kind of crises over the years that I've been living, we usually pick up something. We make changes in our lifestyles and habits and stuff. Well, let's talk about UJ's vehicles now. I see on the highway. I'm starting to see some new vehicles slide in here.
Yeah, we've been getting some shipments in. Everything started rolling again. Not quite up to speed yet, but it's we've been getting consistent.
Getting some numbers, but they're not volume.
Right. We've been getting things back and going. So we. Getting a variety of vehicles. One of the kind of exciting things, or two of them, we've got several of the new Trailblazers, which kind of slots in just below the Equinox as far as size, and the new bodied.
That's a new vehicle. But, you know, way back there we had Trailblazers, but didn't they take those out and now they're bringing them back?
Yeah, the last Trailblazer I think was in like 2008 or 9, somewhere.
I heard some advertising today about Ford's bringing the Bronco back too.
So. Right. So, you know, it's, you know, which their Bronco is kind of a, I don't know, it doesn't really fit in what we're doing as far as our Tahoes and that would probably be the closest thing, but it's a little different.
Okay.
But,
well, tell me about this independent suspension, man, that you're talking about now in some of these vehicles.
The new Tahoe is really an all-new vehicle.
That's neat.
It's
that's like a damn Corvette.
Yep. It's a totally redesigned chassis. You know, instead of the solid rear axle rear end under it, it does have an independent rear suspension. The front suspension is more like our newer trucks. The interior thing, it looks like you've got a computer screen for the entertainment center.
You know, really?
It's a huge screen for the computer.
In the center of the dash?
Yep. And I really haven't spent enough time with it yet to get to know all the bells and whistles at this point. But
that'd be neat, man. You could drive down the road and watch TV.
Yeah, well, they won't let you do that. But,
I know you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. The driver can't see it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. So. I used to ride with a guy. We'd go to races and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he'd have a little portable TV sitting on the console.
Right.
But I'm going like, what are we doing with TV? Oh, I watch some shows on there while I'm driving. I said, you do what? He said, yeah, I watch some of these TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'm gonna watch this little deal here for
a
minute.
Watch the road.
Yeah. And then what I found out was he didn't really watch the TV. He was listening to it.
Right.
You know?
Right. But, you know, it's totally redesigned inside. You know, it has more room. It's a bigger vehicle than the older Tahoe. It's not as big as the Suburban, but it's a little bit bigger than
it
the
is
older,
bigger
older
than
Tahoes.
The older one. It looks like
And,
well, you know, everywhere I see any of these security vehicles and police vehicles and federal government vehicles and all that, they use more Tahoes than they do the Suburbans.
Yeah. You know, really, all the pretty much all the manufacturers have cut out a four-door sedan big enough rear-wheel drive that the police department can use other than maybe Dodge with their Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And those have been okay, but they have not been a big fan favorite of the police. They do okay, and they've got plenty of power, but I don't know that they're holding up as well.
Well, I was going to say they don't have the longevity factor in it that these Chevrolets and General Motors vehicles have had over all these years. Because, I mean, look, they've been doing this for 100 years. You know?
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's, you know, our motor is a little simpler, you know, than what the Dodge and the Ford stuff is, you know, so it doesn't have as many moving parts. You know, it's ours is still a push rod motor. You know, it doesn't have the overhead, you know, cam and chains and all the other, you know, complicated valve train stuff that may tend to give a little more trouble, but it's been a pretty good vehicle.
There you go. Okay.
So, sound like we're gonna have to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Billboard in the field near the big old highway, rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling freight from Chicago to St. Louis. Lord, I see her every day. A double clutching weasel like me can hardly ever.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. We do have a text, but we're going to get to our caller here before that. We have Kane. Kane, you with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, man, we don't have any damn traffic reports tonight now.
That's right. Everything's smooth. The bayway's clear.
All right, bayway's cleared. All we can get all across there in 6-7 minutes, okay.
That's right. That's about right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you're working over at Deep South there, and I know you want to talk about that tonight. How do you do a traffic report from there? I mean, that's,
I have to tell you a secret. We had a race this past Friday, and I had the laptop, microphone in the front of the truck. All my equipment was there, and I was doing traffic reports in the pits. I usually don't say that's a special secret, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do when hot laps start at 6 and you get off at 5:45.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Hey, I understand. Got to do what you got to do, you know?
Yeah, they've done a great job at Deep South Speedway this year. They had the Great American Bash this past Saturday, and actually Friday and Saturday. They did heat races, and then Saturday, unfortunately, it got rained out, and they just wanted to let everyone know that it had wristbands that from this past weekend. They're good to go for this Saturday's rain makeup race, or if you want to wait until the next race, which is July 18th, that's going to be where you can meet the driver's night. So either way, they're good on that. So that's 7 classes of cars, and we're expecting that at least this Saturday. So it should be good fun.
Yeah, they've been having a pretty good turnout with cars and the fans.
Yeah, they really have, and it's been amazing. You talk about earlier, COVID-19 and everything. Everyone's kind of keeping their distance, but it's still packed houses. And what's new this year at the racetrack is you can get pull your truck or your car into the pits, and they've got now fences around the back straightaway that go into the curves around 3 and 4, and you're able to back up right there, and people cook out and have a good time. And it's cool as a race car driver to go down the back straightaway and just when you're going around every turn, you see people. It's like a mini Coliseum. So they've done a great job. Fair prices, great hamburgers, and like I said, good racing too. And they're throwing a lot of money at the drivers this year, and
awesome.
You can tell that's making
awesome.
A difference.
Well, I want to know. I got a question though.
Yeah,
can us rednecks bring out Confederate flags?
Hey, you know what? There are cars out there rolling with them, baby. Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially in the pure stock class, my class.
I bet.
25 cars ready to race this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have more this next Saturday, so it'll be a good time.
You know, I tell you, it's a lot more fun as a driver when you have that many cars. I can remember back in the day when I was running the pure stock at Mobile, when we had 40 plus cars show up every night for that class.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, I mean, it was an accomplishment to make it to the A feature.
Right.
In one piece. Yeah. And, you know, it just, you felt like you've done something to make it that far, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's great to go out there and win when you got, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 cars. But when you've got that many cars, you know you've got the best of the best around that you're running with.
Well, back then, did the fastest qualifiers start up front, or are they draw numbers, or anything?
There was time when we actually inverted 6 rows of cars, not just 6 cars.
Well, you know, when we were racing though, back in the 80s,
there was times it was inverted the whole field.
We inverted the whole damn field, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling about my son, you know, and the guys would drive me before. I said, man, just go to the front. Don't worry about the sheet metal. You know,
right. We
got a yard full of it.
You find a hole, just go for it.
Don't worry
about it. You know?
That fender, it's only got 1 or 2 bolts in it. It will come off.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. Well, and that's one of those things that I feel like we have, and we've had our issues at Pensacola this year, you know, trying to race around people that I just don't think understand how to pass or be passed.
Oh, do they have the drive through your specials?
Well, yeah, you know, and you know, they have not been taught properly how to race with around other people.
Oh, man, they heard about banging and beating and banging was racing, baby.
All this iRacing and all that, where all they have to do is they run over somebody and hit the reset button.
Oh, yeah. That
doesn't
happen.
Y'all don't have reset buttons there.
No, my reset button's at the shop where I have to rebuild it.
That being said, Kane, how are you doing with your racing operation?
We've had a blast, and this has been the best year that we've had. We've got some great sponsors behind us. I want to thank them real quick: Spring Hill Toyota, Pull Apart, Frank Griffith of BA Motorsports. And really, the key to our success has been Bobby Ingersoll of Ingersoll Racing. He's built our motors. He's been around asphalt. His brother Nathan Ingersoll runs out in the modifieds. And we've been blessed to have him with us on the team that really just kind of steered us the right way. We've got the Serpents of the Anvil, K1 Race Gear, and Coastal Traffic on the car, too.
Yeah.
Well, undoubtedly, you got a new driver. Y'all doing better or something?
Yeah. No, it's still the old guy.
Still that same guy.
Yeah.
Dang.
Just tightening up a little bit.
Well, maybe all that driving you've been doing.
I've been wanting to do it my own way, and it hadn't worked. So now we're getting there.
Maybe that all that driving you've been doing for the Rusty Wallace NASCAR racing stuff at all the tracks around the United States has been beneficial to you.
Yeah, and that's so much fun, too. And people always ask, what do you like better, asphalt or dirt? And I love the dirt. I grew up in Indiana, so I got to see a lot of great dirt racing from up there, a lot of dirt track racing. I love asphalt, though, too. But the only asphalt I really want to do now is the Rusty Wallace. You know, I'm blessed enough to still travel to big tracks like Atlanta, Kentucky, Charlotte. Yeah, Mobile and Pensacola, drive the cars when they come down here as well, and drive two-seaters. And what a joy it is to be able to take people out who've never been in a race car, some of them new to racing, and give them that first experience to get them right on the wall, and I mean, give them a heck of a ride, something they'll talk about forever. I just love doing that. So it's kind of like fun. You know, it's amazing we get paid to do that.
Well, you know, that being said, but when you go to Atlanta or Charlotte or somewhere like that, I know those cars get up to 180, 200 mile an hour there, but how fast do those cars run that you're driving?
No, the ones I'm driving, we were clocked at, Greg Hutto Jr. and myself, and I'd never been to Atlanta the first time. It's been probably 4 years ago, and said, I was just getting the helmet out, walking out. Oh, there's my car. Great. So we'll get in. We're late. We need to do some laps. It's like, okay. So first lap, we get right onto each other, and we're drafting. The second lap around, we were going 189. So I'm like, that's cool.
Whoa.
That's what they clock us at, And in the car, and I've never, it's hard to tell this to people to explain it, but it was like the most smooth car. I mean, it just stuck into the turns. It was like not loose at all. I mean, it was the most amazing experience to go that fast because it's almost slow. It's that fast. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different kind of racing in that kind of division and that kind of car for sure. You know, you get some of those big tracks like, you know, Talladega and Atlanta and those kind of places they're really moving, you know, they're hauling the mail for sure.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to do it with that many. I had like 3 or 4 cars out there. I can handle that.
Well, you ought to be like Thomas Prater does, you know, when he's running with the ARCA races at Talladega or Daytona, man, they're running 190, 200 mile an hour. And, you know, they're all over each other out there.
Right.
And then you have some of those guys that still run on dirt last weekend that out there, and so you have to put up with them too.
Well, you know, you get that every weekend on dirt, it seems, but that's all right. It's part of it, right?
Yeah. Well, looking forward to coming over Saturday night and seeing you. What time do the races get started?
I tell you, the best thing to do is go on to Facebook, look up Deep South Speedway. They've got all the information there. But I imagine, like, if it was last weekend, the hot laps will start around 5:30, 6 o'clock, racing close to 7 o'clock, because they've got 7 divisions this weekend, features only, but big money features. There should have easily 80 to 100 cars.
Woo!
I'd be surprised. Awesome. Yeah, I'd be surprised if there were any less.
That's. I'm looking forward to coming to that race. That's going to be an unbelievable dirt track race, man.
Well, come see us in the pits when you get there, and guys, it's as always an honor to be on with you guys. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Kane, and watch the traffic, man.
Yeah, that's right. Everything's clear on the way home. You're safe.
Yeah, that's
radar.
Right. All right. Don't try and do any reports from the race car. From your truck's okay. So yeah. Anyway, it's I'm sure it'll be a great show. the race fans and drivers around here, you can tell they've been starving for somewhere to go and do. Five Flags has been just absolutely packed in the pits. The grandstands, not as much because people are still, you know, a little weary, but they're all coming in the pits.
Yeah.
You know, they've had times where you couldn't even drive in the pits at Pensacola.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I've seen that many people inside the infield minus a snowball
weekend.
Yeah, but,
you know, for the benefit of the people that are listening and are not familiar with it, what that means is if you're going into pits like that, you drive your vehicle in. So if you've got a car with a big trunk or whatever, you're going to put your food and drinks or whatever and all in there, and the kids get in the car and or pickup truck. Mm-hmm. You sit in the back of it, put your lounge chairs out, and you sit out there and watch your races and all.
Right.
You're still staying separately. You're staying away from a lot of people, you know.
Right. You're still with your little group.
Right.
You're still at your car. You know, so it's you can still stay distant, and you can still watch some good racing.
There you go.
You know, but like I say, we haven't had much luck over there this year. You know, we got to run over again.
Really?
The last time we raced over there, it's been 2 weeks ago now. Just one of those racing deals, you know, but, you know, it gets old after a while.
All right.
I just want a good, clean weekend one
time.
There
you go. One good, clean weekend.
Bring it home.
First, second.
And looking something like it did when I put it in trailer
right.
to go over there.
You mean you don't have to have two wreckers to load
it? Right. Yeah. So, that would be nice. And then if we can do that, I think the first, second, first, and all that'll come. It's just been one of those.
But you know, I was always pleased if I could, you know, drive it up on the trailer or drive it in the trailer. Then I felt like I had won. It didn't make much difference what position you finished on the track.
Exactly.
But when I had to use two wreckers to load it, even if I'd have finished second or first, I didn't feel like I'd done the right thing.
Yeah, I've had a few times when I felt like I needed a shovel to load mine, but it was
that's the truth. Yeah, it looked like a bomb went off inside.
So, you know, sounds like it's time for take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And speaking of text, let's see, we'll get to our text messages here. Let's see. This is a question I wanted to ask. I waited a week to ask because we were off last week. But would you suggest a routine, say every 100,000 miles, replacement of the pulleys driven through the serpentine belt on an interference engine? How soon would you replace the tensioner here at 100,000 routine maintenance? Most of our maintenance.
Did we talk about brand of car?
No, and we'll keep it kind of generic, but really 100,000 miles is kind of the first major service that you do due to a vehicle nowadays. You know, as far as belts and hoses and that kind of thing, we don't have a whole lot of problem with that anymore.
Would you have a problem with a vehicle running 130,000 miles with the same hoses?
They do it all the time.
They do.
Yeah.
You just don't have
that much trouble with them. Yeah. There's certain cars that may have some issues, but you know, that's one of the key things about taking, say, if you have a GM product, take it to a GM dealer to have it maintained, is they know the things that go wrong with that particular vehicle at certain mileage. Whereas, you know, the independent shops are just kind of doing a generic thing.
Well, we independent shops, we got shotgun with everything, you know. But where you guys have, y'all got thousands and thousands of the same vehicles. Also, you have an internet set up there with the engineers at, back at the plants and all. So they're pumping you with that information as well.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to beat product knowledge.
Right. You know, right on top of it.
You know, as far as, you know, if you have a car with a timing belt, there will be a 100,000 miles is probably the time that you would want to do it. Some of them go a little further,
right.
Some go a little less.
I would stretch that out, though.
So that you definitely need to do. If you're going to put a timing belt on, I would definitely put the tensioner on when you do it.
Right.
If the water pump runs on that timing belt, I would replace the water pump. Because, I mean, it's just like my wife's old car a couple years ago. She was driving down the road, no problem. Everything been fine. Just shut off, you know. And it wasn't due for a timing belt yet, but the water pump locked up.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, luckily it was a non-interference motor.
Oh, I was going to say, I was hoping it was non-interference, so it didn't bend all the valves.
Yeah, it didn't hurt anything other than, you know, I had to get it drugged to the shop and fix it and get it going again. But, you know, basically water pump, tensioners, and belt, and it was good to go again.
Well, now, he brought up another factor there about the different pulleys and being changing these pulleys and all on there. Where are we at with that at this day and time?
You know, the belts last so much longer now. Like our air conditioning on our stuff, the air conditioning belt and the vacuum pump belt, they're a stretch-type belt. So, really, it's, you know, unless something happens to one of those two components, we don't hardly ever have to replace them, you know. If you get 150,000 miles on it, I would say probably let's go ahead and put a belt on it, you know, just for good measure. But I can't tell you the last time I saw a belt fail that didn't have a component fail and cause it to fail.
That being said, now, does most all of the vehicles now have a spring-loaded tensioner, or is it a locked in position tensioner?
Most all our stuff is going to be a spring-loaded tensioner, so it keeps the proper tension on it at all times. You know,
so heat and cold and what have you, when these belts maybe stretch a little bit, they're not going to have a tendency to slip.
Right. So that, you know, when they stretch a little bit, the tensioner takes up that slack there, and it's good to go. You know, most cars now, 100,000 miles is time for plugs. You know, if you have an automatic and you're working it fairly hard, you know, about 50,000 miles, you might want to change the fluid in it, and then again in 100. If you're not working it that hard, 100,000 is probably a good place to do that as well.
You get by with, if the car's never had a 50,000-mile transmission oil change, can you do it when it gets to 100?
Depends on the condition, okay? If it's burnt up, you know, the fluid is burnt and smells.
Okay, I was going to ask you, how are you going to determine that?
It's really a visual thing. And
can the do-it-yourselfer, can your people that's driving the vehicle, do they know what they're looking for?
Most of the time, no. You know, what? Because some fluids are actually, like BMW's got a fluid in theirs that they call a lifetime fluid, that it looks burnt up in about,
what lifetime?
At about 30 or 40,000 miles, it looks burnt up.
Really?
And it has a bad smell to it. It just is dark. It's just looks
but
burnt.
It's a lifetime fluid?
But it's good. Yeah, they say don't change it.
Is it a synthetic?
It's a synthetic fluid.
Okay, well, you're not, you know, you're just maybe getting it a little bit dirty and changing the color of the molecular structure of those molecules. So.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of things, and, you know, but really it's more about how you use your vehicle. If you have a truck that you're working, you know, you're hauling, you're towing, you know, that kind of thing, change your transmission fluid at 50,000 miles.
You better.
Yeah, and
you better make sure you got a good cooler on it too.
Make sure it stays cool. You know, if you're towing something, it's not a bad thing. On most of the new vehicles, you can pull up the transmission temperature on the dash and watch it while you're driving. If it starts getting too hot, you can, you know, do something.
When did they start that?
Most of our stuff since about 2014.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Is that a hard deal for the consumer to utilize?
No, it's through your driver's information center. You know, like you go and get your gas mileage and, you know, tire pressures and all that kind of stuff. It's just another screen that you pull up and watch. You know, some of them you have to actually activate that, which is just another setup on your driver preference.
Right.
You know, so it's just a good thing to watch and keep in mind.
Don't usually have a lot of problems with that when you're towing down here on a flat land or on our flat surfaces, flat roads that we have. But if you get up now, you get up headed up towards Birmingham into Tennessee and all up there, pulling a vehicle up in there, then you need to start worrying about that transmission temperature as well.
Right, right. You start pulling those long grades, you know, going uphill, then you're also working at coming down.
You better reach out and grab it. Downshift it, get a lower gear.
Yep, you better be downshifting it on the way way back down. And, you know, some of our vehicles actually have a compression brake. You know, they have the capability to help slow the vehicle down with the motor, but it's also using the transmission to do that as well. So it can get them warm.
It's still a workhorse, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, but they've really gotten to the point where these things are – pretty tough, you know. Our six-speed stuff we were seeing some problems with it, but it's pretty much our primary transmission anymore. Most everything's gone to the 8-speed or 10-speed now. That's one thing that the new Tahoes have is it's got the it's available with the inline 6-cylinder turbo diesel.
Whoa, now, turbo diesel.
Which is going to make a – it's
– that's going to be a real loss there.
Yeah, it's been our half-ton truck here for going on a year now. And
so they've got a lot of mileage on it to work out any bugs that it might have.
Yep, and a couple of people around the shop own one, and they absolutely love it.
What kind of mileage could a consumer expect out of something like that? Are we up in the 20s now with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're in the mid-20s. For your fuel mileage,
24, 28, somewhere.
It really depends on how you drive it. If you're, if you're running 70, you may even get 28, 29 out of
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the big advantage to it, if you do hook something to it, and one of our guys that works in parts, he's got one, had the 5.3 Z71 before that, and he said the big difference he can tell is that when you're going up and down these hills, pulling a tractor, he's got a little trailer with a little tractor that he pulls, is that it's not struggling to maintain the speed going up these hills and down. It just kind of motors on. It doesn't seem like it's struggling.
Well, that's the joy of a diesel is the torque.
Right.
Pulling power of it,
Yeah. See, the horsepower numbers are not overly impressive. They're around 300 something horsepower, but the torque is the same or more than the 6.2 motor, the gas burner, which is 440 or 50-ish foot pounds.
Right. That being said, now let's take that gas burner and let's talk about running 65 mile an hour, 70 mile an hour. How many RPMs is that going to be turning?
Those are somewhere around 2,000. Probably, and depending on which transmission it's got. But
what are we going to do with the diesel? Are we still about somewhere around 1,800?
No, yeah, you're probably 1,500 RPM.
So it's not straining itself.
It's not working itself. You know, plus the diesel has a 10-speed transmission behind it most of the time, or actually all the time, the gas burner could have a 10-speed. Most of the time they have an 8-speed behind them. And that 10-speed has been really nice. It is so seamless, the shifts, and it's just keeps it in the power band, makes it a very nice driving experience with it.
Haven't we gotten away from all the cranking problems that we used to have and having to get the glow plugs hot and all that stuff for the diesel and all? We've gotten away from all that stuff, don't we?
I mean, they still have glow plugs, but they heat up so much faster. You don't have to wait. There's no wait to start button lighting.
You drive it just like a gas burner.
You crank them just like a gas burner. And, we have block heaters on them, but if you're in this part of the country, you will never have to hook it up.
No.
You know, it just doesn't
But if you're
not necessary.
Grandma in Wisconsin in the middle of the winter.
Well, if it's going to be a 20 below day if it's going to be even a 0-degree day and you want your heater to work when you first fire it up, that's the nice thing about a block heater is you crank it up and it's blowing warm air then. It really is not a problem to even get them to crank at that point, they just start so much easier than what they ever did. They have not been a problem. So, diesel's really a pretty neat technology.
They are.
And they're Heck, it's been around for 150 years almost. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're getting to the point where they pretty well got it perfect.
They've always been the big hoss. They've always been the one that you had to have to do all the heavy work and do the, if you wanted longevity out of it. But at the same time, now if they put that in that little Tahoe, I mean, that damn thing would be good for half a million miles.
Yeah, they're tough. They're gonna hold up well. If it's half the motor that our big Duramax is, it's gonna be pretty impressive for sure.
By a lifetime, man.
Yep, yep.
Come on, so,
we're gonna take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Life is older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads. Take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama. Take me home, country road.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remco, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We got about 10 minutes before we got to go for the night, so if you got any questions or anything, give us a call and see if we can't help you out. But Tom, you know, it's I am constantly reminded of things that I'm supposed to already know.
You know, well, you know everything. You are the doctor.
Well, I was supposed to. Looks like we do have a caller, but I was reminded today of the fact that you never take anyone's word on something that they have done on a vehicle. Had someone caller, we'd be right with you. You know, had someone bring a vehicle in and said, you know, hey, we've already replaced injectors, that didn't fix it, and gone other places, all that kind of thing, and took them at the word that the injectors weren't the problem. And I sat there and worked on other things, got to checking. Finally, is like, you know what? Let me go back and check the injectors. And sure enough, the resistance value on three of them are totally different from the others. And it's like, okay, well, never mind. I know what's wrong with it now. Yeah. So, you know, you have to start with the basics. And it's something I do every day is I jump in the middle of one that someone else has been working on. That's kind of my job.
Right,
okay.
Right.
But, you know,
troubleshooting.
Yeah. You know, you have to start from ground zero, and sometimes you hurt people's feelings. Well, I've already checked that. Well, I don't care. I'm going to look at it myself.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you just have to roll with that, you know.
Well, but, and a lot of us have a tendency to buy the most economical thing we can get our hands on, and that sometimes is not the most proficient piece that we could have bought.
Exactly. But, caller, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yes, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Well, I have a question. I'm restoring a 84 Toyota Celica GT, a convertible. Who can I get to replace the seals around the top of the convertible, the rubber seals?
Yeah. You know, the people that do that stuff are getting few and far between now.
I know.
It's going to be a trim shop, and I don't know anybody personally because we really haven't. You know, we handle the ones we have to do in house.
Okay,
and we try and run off the ones we don't have to do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tom's time.
Yeah,
A1 trim shop.
Mm-hmm.
A1. It's over behind the Wave. There's a street that runs behind the Wave. Mm-hmm. And you go down that street. If you go down side of the Wave off of the service road, turn right on the street and go to the dead end, and he'll be on the left there. And the guy's name is Larry Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hudson Drive.
Yep.
And Hudson Larry, Drive. Yeah.
Yeah. And Larry does an excellent job. I've known him for years, too. For some reason, I drew a blank when I was thinking about that. But yeah, he does a great job, you know. Sometimes he'll take it, sometimes he won't.
Right. Depends
on what he's got going.
Another thing.
One other question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. who around here works on Mercedes other than the Mercedes dealership?
There's a German repair facility, Kevin Watts, down on Highway 90. Right across the street from Tom's old place. Down there, I'm trying to think of what's in there with
them. Right next to Halls Motorsports.
Yep. Yeah, right next to Halls Motorsports. Yep.
Okay.
Kevin does, he's a great guy, great mechanic, you know, does a good job with Mercedes. He worked at Mercedes for a while.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy. No, he's a personal friend.
Yep. And worked with me at BMW as well. So he's very knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable and a great technician. And he won't rip you off.
You guys are great, man.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, man. You have a good day.
Appreciate you calling in. But, you know, that's, we're working on the 29 Chevrolet. That belongs to UJ Chevrolet, has been in their possession for many, many years because it was their first car that they took in on trade.
Oh, it was.
Back many years ago. So we're restoring it, putting it back together, getting it up and running. And, you know, it come to the point to having the interior and the top and that kind of stuff done. And finding people to do that older stuff.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
It is impossible, you know. The man that run Chicksaw Trim forever does wonderful at that. And,
right.
But he's retired.
Right.
But he still piddles, and he likes doing that kind of stuff. So he was willing to take it in.
Oh, really?
And he's working on it. So that's – but we were kind of at a loss at who else to take it to.
Boomer doesn't do that?
He don't – I mean
– he likes specialty custom stuff, huh?
Well – when you're looking for somebody that knows how to make a wooden door, put a window in it, and make it roll up and down, that's not really what he's used to working on.
Boomer ain't going to do that.
Yeah, the window regulator is mounted on a piece of wood,
right,
like a 1x6 or 1x8, and it's bolted into the door and all this kind of stuff, and it's routed out and all that. Yeah, it's kind of neat looking at it. It's like, well, I guess they just kind of did what they knew to work with is wood back then, you know?
You know what? You're talking about that. I went to a restoration shop one time over in Baldwin County, and the guy had a Woody in there that he was working on.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, you do all that woodwork? Oh, yeah, man, I do all that woodwork and everything. So I went in and I sat down inside the car, and it's got the big wooden components and pieces and all in the dash.
Yeah.
And I kept looking at the wood, and I said, that ain't real wood.
Yeah.
You know? So then I got to looking at it, and I reached over and pulled on the edge of it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. He had a piece of aluminum that he'd formed and fitted in there, and he put a little piece of foam over it, and then he put some of that paper-looking stuff, you know, where it's got the wood coating on it.
Yeah.
I'm going like, you sucker. And you're going to charge this guy, you know, for a piece of wood? And he rigged it, you know? I'm going like, damn, you're not working on my car.
Yeah, you know. And really, a lot of those things, they were, you know, they did have a steel dash, but they actually painted the wood grain and all that on it. It was really an art form to put the wood grain on that. And, you know, it was not stickers.
No, it wasn't decals.
Yeah.
But this guy had some of that stuff. Like, you know, if like you're going to take and put a lining in your shelving in your kitchen, you know, and you want it to, you know, look like wood, and you can take that piece and cut it out and lay it down, you know, and smooth it all out, and it looks like another piece of wood. You know, that's not real wood to me.
No.
And that's not what something I'd be wanting on my darn woody car.
Yeah, I tell you, they're a special car and a special person to work on them.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know, it's hard to find people that have the knowledge to even go back and do that. And that's the sad part is we're losing
all those people.
That, you know, ability to do that, you know, because the people that knew it and did it, they're going away.
And you know, there's no place where you can get trained for that.
Right.
You know, to do that kind of work.
You know,
the demand is not really there.
You know, and it's not, you know, and you know, that's why a lot of that stuff goes away. And unfortunately, you know, we're kind of that point on a carbureted car or something with points or even a distributor that they got a set timing on. the guys that are coming along now, they don't have a clue.
Right.
They don't understand the technology. Okay. I have gas that just kind of pumps into this hole in this carburetor.
Right.
And somehow it jumps into the motor and makes it run.
I don't know how
I don't understand how that works. I can understand how.
We're going to tell them to check the dwell on the distributor. What?
How many thousands you going to have in the points on the distributor? Points.
Yeah. Or have them hook the dwell meter up to the carburetor. Computer carburetors.
Yeah. Say what?
They're going to like, huh? What are you doing?
We're going to adjust the vacuum here, you know.
Yeah.
Just a fuel mixture, and I'll get the RPMs up to max. What? Is that on my diagnostic machine?
Exactly. I want to thank everybody for listening to Car Doctor tonight, and we will be back next week. I hope everybody has a good week.
Bless all of you there, and to all of our first responders and all of our veterans, we appreciate all that you've done, and a big hoorah to all of you. Through a windshield, and I see everything in